believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It is June 19th, a Friday, right here on 2A Radio. You know, some news came out a couple days ago. There was an interview with CNBC, and President Obama's trying to give this interview, and this fly keeps buzzing around Obama, kind of the way his policies buzz around us. And eventually, he ended up swatting and killing this fly. Oh, that's pretty good, huh? Kind of like we like to do to his policies, just swat and bring him to an end. And PETA, of all groups, of course, I'm sure everybody's aware, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Those of us are a little bit more outdoorsy, a little more heads up, a little more on the conservation rather than the preservation side, like to refer to them as People for Eating Tasty Animals. That's the group I'm in. They actually came out and said that that was wrong for Obama to swat and kill that fly, because everything has a right to live. And they were sending to the White House a little fly trap where the flies can be caught live and then taken outdoors and let go. Are you serious? This is just another ploy for them, as ridiculous as it is, to get a little bit of media attention and airplay. Certainly I'm talking about it because it's so ridiculous. They say that, no press is bad press, no attention is bad attention. You got to be kidding me. I mean, really, kill the stupid fly, just like we'd like to kill a lot of those stupid programs and, just dumb things like the Czar program that Obama's been overly introducing. Just ridiculous. Anyhow, PETA, you guys are stupid. I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. I got to ask you, I would just love to find a way to infiltrate PETA and become maybe a guest speaker or something and open it with a joke. Like the shortest joke I know. So this baby seal walks into a club. That's it. See how it goes. Maybe stand up there eating a hot dog or something. It's just ridiculous to me. They say that, we shouldn't eat meat. Well, I have news for you. The average vegan dies at 58 years old. The average person who lives over 100 years old has a steady daily diet of red meat. You find somebody who's over 100 years old who doesn't eat red meat, and you let me know about it. But I looked at it. I looked at the diets, and it seems like those who actually eat, look at our teeth. Eat the fly. Take that fly, take a bunch of other flies, and cook those up in some sort of a broth and have a little fly soup. It's basically what tapioca pudding is, isn't it? Now, if there's those little flies that are in there, stuff's disgusting. I don't know. Anyhow, that's the way I feel about it. You get ridiculous groups coming out whenever they have an opportunity. Oh, we shouldn't deal with the fly. I wish CNBC would have never played that. That way I wouldn't be standing here wasting my time, wasting your time, talking about the illegitimate president of the Obama regime swatting and killing a fly that was just caught. I don't get it. It's just stupid. Anyhow, it's funny that this group seeks compassion for curiosity for the least notable animals on planet Earth. What good does a fly serve on planet Earth? I mean, does a fly actually do anything? I don't get it. Anyhow, stick around through the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. We have some actual real live stuff to get to in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. I would like to thank everybody who's been going on to imonjanetslist.com and signing up. That seems to be going quite well so far. We need to keep it going. If you know other people that are outraged that your government would profile you as a right-wing extremist for simple beliefs that America was founded on, the same things that the founding fathers believed, the same things that nearly every president in history has believed, and now they would be considered a right-wing extremist or a potential domestic terrorist by the very government that is set up to protect you from terrorists from the outside, that being the Obama regime and their Department of Homeland Security. Go to imonjanetslist.com and sign up and let them know you're not going to be one of their fools for one of those tools. Go on, sign up, make yourself feel good about it. There is a lawsuit that's going to be heading in for D.C. gun regulations that was filed by the Second Amendment Foundation, NRA, such as that. And as it turns out, just the filing of this federal lawsuit has garnished some change in Washington, D.C. As you know, in Heller versus D.C., the people who lived in Washington, D.C. had essentially an outright handgun ban. Well, D.C. versus Heller actually overturned that ban. So we had the option here with the District of Columbia, with the city council there, on what they wanted to do. Rather than saying, you know what, okay, we're going to listen to the court. Now, what they did was they came up with all these new regulations, just as strict, if not stricter, than California's handgun laws, which are ridiculous to begin with. And they made their laws even a little bit more stricter, over and above what the court said was allowed. Basically, flying a flag, a red flag, in the face of the Supreme Court on this deal. So a federal lawsuit was filed against the city's new handgun laws. And let me read a little story to you. Firearms regulations in Washington, D.C. are being amended today, this is 2 days old, I'm sorry, from yesterday, by emergency order in response to a federal lawsuit filed by the Second Amendment Foundation that challenged the arbitrary nature of previous regulations enforced in the District of Columbia. This is in reference to their new regulations. The district had adopted new handgun registration regulations following last year's landmark Second Amendment ruling that struck down the city's decades-old handgun ban as unconstitutional. Under the new regulations, which take effect immediately, the city essentially acknowledges the state of California's roster of approved handguns, upon which the district's own regulations were based, as inadequate. Citizens who had previously been denied an opportunity to register their handguns will be invited to reapply under the new guidelines, which now include information from so-called safe gun rosters maintained by Maryland and Massachusetts. So what you've got is you've got the city of the District of Columbia essentially not being, I guess I should say, intellectually capable of writing their own legislation for guns, or lack thereof. So what they're doing is they're piecemealing stuff together from other states. They're piecemealing other states' information together so that they can have some sort of gun laws. They can't figure out how to draft it themselves. Quote, "This is a genuine victory," said Second Amendment Foundation founder, "because the city is admitting that its existing roster of handguns approved for registration in the district was arbitrary. The city has recognized that handguns had been removed from the California roster for administrative reasons having nothing to do with the safety of a specific handgun model. Until today, the city had been disqualifying certain handguns based on such factors as color, even though they functioned identically to approved models. This ends that nonsense," end quote. Attorney Alan Gura, representing the Second Amendment Foundation in the lawsuit, noted that under the new regulations, approved guns no longer expire from the list and are no longer banned, quote, "because they are the wrong color," end quote. "It's impossible to list every single gun protected by the Second Amendment," Gura said. "We won't stop until this list is scrapped." The Second Amendment Foundation was successful in this lawsuit, and I have to applaud them on it. Thank you very much for doing that. What California has done is once the gun manufacturers send their three samples of these guns, they can then be put onto this list if they pass this, you know, safety drop test, whatever it is. Bunch of BS. But they have to continually pay to remain on the list, to keep that gun on the list. And if they come out with a slightly different model where, say, the frame is a different color or they color the slide a different color, then they actually have to reapply and send three more guns. Now, how stupid is that? All that is a way to keep the people in California more and more and more on the course of disarmament. To have absolutely no guns in the state of California is the end goal. And if they can do it through this system, if they can do it through ammunition bans, ammunition taxes, ammunition registration, keeping ammunition from being able to be hand-loaded, all of this garbage is just another way to disarm law-abiding Americans. Do you really think, I mean, honestly, do you really think that the criminals are going to actually heed to any of these regulations at all? Do you really think they go in and buy things legally anyhow? Is that even possible to fathom, that a criminal is going to do something legal anyhow? I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't know. That's my thoughts on this subject. If you have anything on yours, if you have another idea to add, call me. 800-313-9443. Of course, you can always email me, bill@2aradio.com. Continuing on with something else. In Las Vegas, the newspaper in Las Vegas, the main newspaper, is called the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Let me read you a little story out of the AP about what's going on with the federal government and the Las Vegas Review-Journal. A Nevada newspaper says it has been served a federal grand jury subpoena seeking information about readers who posted comments on the paper's website. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reported Tuesday that its editor, Thomas Mitchell, plans to fight the request, which the newspaper received after reporting on a federal tax fraud case against business owner Robert Carr. The subpoena seeks the identities and personal information about people who posted comments on the story. The newspaper said prosecutors told the judge in a case that some comments hinted at acts of violence, and the subpoena was issued out of concern for jurors' safety. Mitchell said anonymous speech is a fundamental and historic part of this country. The newspaper would consider cooperating if specific crimes or real threats were presented, he said. The newspaper said the subpoena bears the name of a U.S. Assistant District Attorney, J. Gregory Dam, a lawyer on the Justice Department team that is prosecuting Carr and others on charges including income tax evasion, fraud, and criminal conspiracy. Grand jury proceedings are secret, and the subpoena is not a public record. A spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney for Nevada declined to comment. Imagine that. The newspaper said it received the subpoena June 2nd, a week after its story describing the government's case against Carr, a Las Vegas construction company executive accused of paying contractors with gold and silver U.S. coins based on the precious metal's value of the coin, but using the much lower face value of the coin for tax purposes. Carr and other defendants have pled not guilty. The story drew nearly 175 online comments by Monday night, most of it in support of Carr and critical of the government and jurors and attorneys in the case. One commenter said, "The sad thing is there are 12 dummies on the jury who will convict him. They should be hung along with the feds." Another called Dam a, quote, socialist fascist moron and a Nazi moron. The comments are written under pseudonyms. Along with the real names of people who posted comments, the subpoena asked the newspaper for the writer's gender, birth date, physical address, telephone number, internet service provider, IP address, and credit card numbers. After a 2003 raid on Carr's business, Carr and several of his workers sued Dam and two Internal Revenue Service agents, as well as two others who were involved. The civil matter is still pending. In 2007, Carr and Dam and an agent of the FBI and IRS alleging criminal behavior, U.S. District Attorney Judge David Ezra dismissed the complaint in December, and Carr appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. 2 years ago, Dam prosecuted a similar tax case against 9 defendants, including Carr. The trial ended with no convictions and 4 acquittals. 5 defendants were partially acquitted, and 2 of them were dropped from the indictment that generated the current case. So here we go. We've got the Obama administration. Now, I'm going to go straight to the top, straight to Obama on this deal, because what they're trying to do is end free speech. They're trying to end it. They're trying to make it to where people are afraid to make comments about the government. As you can tell from my big, fat, wise mouth, I am not afraid of that. I think Obama, his illegitimate, sorry ass, and his regime should be thrown out through a recall. Goodbye. We don't want socialism in this country. You might want it, but the rest of America does not want socialism. We don't want you owning the auto industry. We don't want you taking control of the insurance industry. We don't want you taking control of the health industry. We don't want you taking control of the banking industry. We want you to stay out of our business and do what the Constitution, the charter for what allows the federal government to exist, to be followed. That's what we want. Stay tuned. We have more after the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. We have a couple people ready to chime in. So, on line one, Michael in New York. Welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Bill, and always enjoy listening to you. You're great. I love how you present the facts of common sense gun ownership, which this country was established on, and Americans today have lost sight of that. But because of you and the way you perfectly present the case, I mean, there's no arguing. It's only common sense.
Michael, I appreciate it. You're obviously a tuned, good American. Carry on.
Yes, sir. And I'm also a vegetarian, Bill.
And, okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, I just wanted to comment because it's absolutely true. A lot of vegetarians aren't healthy, and that's just how it is. Just because you're a vegetarian doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. It's not that way at all. However, the real science does say to have optimum health, you have to be a vegetarian. I'm in the health field as one of the things I do, helping people get really well and healthy, curing all kinds of stuff, using Mother Nature. I'm not the cure itself. I just know how to do it. And so I do have locally here a client friend whose granddad is 101 years old. The guy is going strong, doesn't need anything. His mind is still totally functioning, his body totally functioning. He doesn't need any aids, doesn't need anything, holds a perfect conversation, and he's almost a total vegetarian. He mainly lives on just fruits and vegetables in season. He's a smart old Italian guy, knows how to do it. And he's strong like an ox still for 101. The guy is amazing. And so, you know, it's that's just how it is. But so I wanted to clarify that a bit. But, you know, getting back to Obama with killing the fly, when I seen that yesterday, Bill, you know what I thought?
Tell me, please.
Here's the guy that's going to save the world. He's so good. He cares about everybody. And yet, kills this little harmless fly, which, you know, it's so easy to kill a fly. What's the trick to that? It's nothing. And yet he, rather than give it an opportunity to just fly away, you know, he has to kill it. He is, and when I seen that, I said, there's a baby killer. There's a guy that has no respect for life at all. Sure, what's it to snuffing out the life of a fly? It's easy. But to let it live and let it go on, that may take a little bit more restraint and a little more compassion.
I got to tell you, I think it's interesting that he didn't bow down to the fly, that maybe that fly was the king of flies, as he did in Saudi Arabia. Michael, thanks very much for the call, and I appreciate the information on the 101-year-old guy who's essentially a vegetarian. That is good news, and I hope he lives to be 140. So thanks a bunch for the call. Calling in also, we have Mark in Texas from the great state of Texas. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Bill. That fly was just collateral damage. Nothing to it, buddy. Hey, Bill, I was rattling something through my head this morning, and I thought I'd bring it up to see what you thought about this.
I am all ears.
We have three illustrious witches from California, you know, the Feinsteins, the Boxsters, and the Harmons.
Yes, we do.
I mean, and them gals, they're about as anti-gun as a person could get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to start the ifens now, so hang with me on this. Ifen, the state of California declares bankruptcy or defaults on their debt, are their state representatives that they elect and send to Washington to represent them, will not their activities at the federal level be null and void? It's not in the Constitution anywhere that I can find, but I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, now that is an incredibly interesting and thought-provoking idea. If their state becomes bankrupt, do their voting rights then become null and void? I don't know, because in the Constitution it doesn't say that they actually have to get any compensation for representing their state, does it?
I don't believe so. I've tried to, like I say, through my head, trying to remember anything that even remotely addressed this possibility. And I don't think it's in there. So we're in uncharted territory here.
I got to tell you, if and they go bankrupt in California, we're going to have to see. I remember that the state of Louisiana, pretty much went bankrupt back in about 88, if I remember right. A few of the parishes went bankrupt. The state had to bail them out, and then the state was essentially bankrupt for a short period of time. I don't know that any of that question ever came up. Did you come up with this thought yourself, Mark? Because that's
oh, brilliant. This is just one of those things. An idle time is the devil's workshop. I had nothing to do this morning, so you know how it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And then you started bringing up gun control, and I thought, well, that ought to fit right in with it, because them three witches, I can't think of any more broomsticks flying around heavier than they got against gun control.
You know, I wonder if their broomsticks are hybrids or if they're real gas guzzlers. I mean, do they actually take these things on test drives? It's out of California. Maybe they're going pure electric. Who knows?
Mark, ethanol.
Mark, I appreciate the call.
Talk to you soon, Bill.
Thank you. All right, take care. Bye-bye. That's a very interesting proposition. Those are Quince, I'm going to put you on this, and a couple other guys. Pete, maybe you can look this up. Good listeners out there. What do you guys think? Send me off a couple of emails. Let me know what you guys think. If the state of California, or any state for that matter, goes bankrupt, does that preclude, since now they're not on the coffer, does that preclude them from being able to effectively represent at the federal level? I don't know that it would, but it certainly is an interesting thought. Any other thoughts you'd like to share, feel free to call me 800-313-9443, or at your leisure, you can always go to 2aradio.com and send me an email, bill@2aradio.com. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. We're going to get to the riot of the day shortly. We have another caller. We have Mark in Montana. Mark, welcome
Hello.
To 2A.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to respond to your last caller on the bankruptcy idea.
Okay.
We can't go for the morally bankrupt, so that won't work.
That would happen a long, long time ago.
But as far as the bankruptcy, as far as I've read and studied, the federal government's been bankrupt since the 30s or so.
Sure.
And, of course, we're operating in debt, so that would make everything that the federal government does outside the constitutional limits, therefore everything they've done has been null and void, if that's the case.
Mark, as you were just saying that, something popped into my head.
Yeah.
Pushing for a new amendment to the Constitution that says anything that the federal government does outside of a debtless, balanced budget is null and void. How about that?
That's awesome.
How about forcing them? So we can't force them to actually keep a balanced budget, and we can't force them to keep us out of debt. But what we can do is say, if we don't have a balanced budget and we are in debt, then anything you do until we fix those problems is null and void and unconstitutional. You can't do anything. Therefore, they could still be in debt, but then they would just be hamstrung, which is probably the best way. If we were $100 in debt, and we were $100 in debt for, I don't know, say 50 years, and Congress couldn't do anything, man, what a great country this would be, right?
Yeah, in fact, we should be moving backwards to where it worked and just start chopping all these new codes and such out, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
instead of moving forward, let's move backwards, huh?
You know, out in I absolutely agree. Now, here's the thing. Out in Montana, something tells me you're probably not a vegan.
No.
No,
good man. Across the road from where I'm working here, we got a whole herd of cattle. And I'm just watering at the mouth.
Good for you. You know, I got to tell you, a guy I used to work with out at Front Sight, retired in Montana, and another guy and I were thinking about going out there and seeing him. I've never stepped foot in Montana. I've lived in the West almost my entire life. I've never been to Montana. We talked about going there, maybe doing a little buffalo hunting. I've got a 416 Remington Magnum I'm itching to take a big old piece of game with, and I'm thinking a buffalo that I could have all kinds of butchered up, brought home and stuffed in my freezers, the perfect answer to the question that I've got about what kind of power I can really throw down range with a 416 Remington Magnum. We may have to come out there and get some buffalo.
Yeah, I understand there's more and more available. I'm not real sure how that's working these days. You get the vegetarians and the green people standing in between if they can, you know.
I don't know how they taste, however, but with the grains, you never know. Mark, I appreciate the call. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, they say grain-fed is good, right?
That's what they say.
Okay, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Riot of the day comes from the Brady campaign. These are the moronic idiots who want to take away all the gun rights in the world, certainly here in America, because Jim Brady was in the path of the bullet of John Hinckley Jr. when he took some shots at President Reagan, took one to the back of the skull. He's been essentially a vegetable ever since. A tragic story. Tragic occurrence of the wrong person, wrong time, idiot with a gun shooting at the president. Now, their campaign, formerly known as Handgun Control Incorporated, comes out with ridiculous self-promoting statistics. Let me give you a few. If you take the right to carry states, the states that allow people to carry concealed, and you take the states that don't allow that, and you can compare them, you're going to see a dramatic decrease in the crime in right-to-carry states. However, the Brady campaign, every year, the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence, which is their full name, publishes a report card grading each state on how well they did with enacting what they call sensible gun laws. Highlighting Brady's, their little overachieving agenda in 2007, 10 of their top 12 list of states, and 11 states plus the District of Columbia, are not right-to-carry states. That means that they give a may issue, not a shall issue. Now, keep in mind, 48 of the 50 states allow concealed weapons permits. Only Wisconsin and Illinois do not. There is no provision for carrying concealed in those two states. The rest, I believe there's 38 states that actually are a shall issue. So these states are not going to change on Brady's list often at all because they don't like the right to carry idea. These best states, according to the Brady campaign, with an average Brady score of 50.25 on their scale of whatever the hell it may be, also had a 2007 violent crime rate average of a little over 512 incidents per 100,000 people in population. Brady's 12 worst states, with a Brady score of averaging 4.2, had an average violent crime rate of 392 per 100,000 population, about 120 less. So 120 people per 100,000 less in this were victims of violent crime in the states that Brady listed as poor when it comes to gun control. 120 people per 100,000 more are the victims on this in the states where Brady rates them good for sensible gun laws. Now, sensible is all in the eyes of the beholder. Really? You really think that sensible, quote-unquote, gun laws where people are not allowed to carry guns allows them to be more victimized to the tune of an extra 120 people per year per 100,000 in population? Thank you, Brady campaign, for the stupid answer. You people, thank you very much for sucking. You suck. You're terrible. You have no idea what sort of danger you're putting people into. Or maybe you do have an idea and you just don't care. You don't care. Here's another little bit of a good news piece that's come out. And that is the state of Pennsylvania. Their court struck down the Philadelphia gun laws. Let me read a little tidbit to you. A state appeals court ruled Wednesday, just 2 days ago, that the city of Philadelphia cannot enforce an assault weapons ban and a law prohibiting guns bought by one person and given as a gift to another, that those measures passed by the city council in Philadelphia in an effort to combat persistent gun violence are illegal. They cannot work. So they're gone now. In a 6-1 ruling marking the latest setback for Philadelphia officials who have fought for years for the right to pass their own gun legislation, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has previously upheld the state's exclusive right to enact gun laws. There is a preemption law in the state of Pennsylvania. Cities, counties, townships cannot pass gun laws. All they can do is listen to the state laws. That's all they can go by. The National Rifle Association challenged a series of measures that were passed by the city council just this past April and signed by Mayor Michael Nutter. Both sides expect the case to end up before the state's highest court yet again. The bottom line is we won, according to the NRA attorney C. Cott Shields. In Thursday's ruling, the court said that the city could not ban assault weapons or pass laws prohibiting straw purchases for which one person fills out forms and buys a gun for someone else, often convicted felons who can't legally own guns. However, in Pennsylvania, that would be for as a gift, if my knowledge serves me correct. Quince, if it's different, let me know, correct me. But I believe that's if it's a gift, not for sale, because straw purchases otherwise, keeping in mind on a federal mandate, are not legal. However, we're talking about states' rights. And then the 10th Amendment really comes into play from there. In a dissenting opinion, Commonwealth Judge Doris A. Smith-Ribner, great, she's a hyphen, she's got to be liberal. I'm sorry, I'm dumping her into the liberal bucket because she's a hyphen. That sort of thing just kind of goes with the flow for the liberals. She asserted that the city does have the right to pass its own gun laws, citing the hundreds of residents killed by gun violence every year. So rather than curbing crime, we're going to curb an instrument. If people are routinely getting bashed by mad hammers, are we going to outlaw a framing hammer because that's being used so much in crime in the city of Philadelphia? I don't know. The NRA has also asked the U.S. Supreme Court to strike down strict gun laws in the Chicago area. Of course, that went to the Seventh Circuit. Seventh Circuit says the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the states. You know, if that's the truth, you can't pick and choose which amendments, which parts of the Constitution do apply to states and which do not. It's all or it's nothing. It's all part of the same document that occasionally changes with amendments. You cannot say Second Amendment doesn't apply, but the First Amendment does. It doesn't work that way, you idiots on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. A bunch of schlemiels. I'm sorry to have to tell you guys that you're stupid, but somebody needs to. I guess that's going to fall upon me today. You cannot tell us that one amendment doesn't apply to the states, but all the rest do? That's just dumb. I mean, that's smash my head into a brick wall, stupid. And I'm not the one who should be smashing my head into a brick wall. You should smash your own heads into a brick wall. Maybe it would knock some sense into you. All the while, the Ninth Circuit Court, way out on the West Coast, they're out of San Francisco, they say, in fact, the Second Amendment does apply to the states. It is an individual right, and individuals can invoke their Second Amendment rights against any sort of state, county, or city law that would otherwise curb the Supreme Court's ruling and D.C. versus Heller and the Second Amendment as a whole. So we've got two different courts on two different sides of the court on this game, and eventually it's probably going to end up at the Supreme Court. There we go. So we've got stupidity in Brady. We've got the city of Philadelphia getting slapped down, which is all good. And now we're going to move on to something on a little bit more of an international front. North Korea has been rattling their little baby rattle, trying to get some attention. Now, as of yesterday, I guess it was actually Thursday's paper that we were able to see late Wednesday out of Tokyo, North Korea is allegedly prepping a long-range ballistic missile and intentionally going to be firing it in the direction of Hawaii sometime around the 4th of July, as reported in a Tokyo newspaper. Now, Russia and China are urging the North Korean regime to return to the international disarmament talks rather than proliferating this nuclear program they have. Now, this missile that they have is believed to be a Taipodong-2 missile, whatever that is, with a range of up to 4,000 miles, allegedly. Not quite far enough to get to Hawaii. However, if another country launches a long-range ballistic missile with nuclear capabilities towards sovereign U.S. territory, that is an act of war. And my question is, if North Korea is to do this, how will the Obama regime respond? Will they actually go to war with North Korea over this provocation? Or will they sit back and be the bunch of wusses that I truly believe they are? Chiming in on some of the riots of today, Alan, another caller from the great state of Texas on line one. Alan, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Enjoying the show as always, and appreciate you bringing up the absurdity of these people talking about sensible gun laws, or sometimes we hear reasonable. And, of course, all those words are very, like you say, they're very subjective. And I think people need to understand that this is what Madison was talking about when he talked about precision in language and the precision that was used in drafting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They were extremely precise, and they no doubt debated for hours on end about exact words to be used in the final draft of all the amendments. And so when we hear today, when we hear politicians throwing around words reasonable and sensible and all this stuff, that should send up a warning sign to us that we've got a problem.
I completely agree. I mean, how are we supposed to handle this sort of thing? How are we supposed to handle stupid people that get some bit of press, and then they try to take it to enact legislation which is against the Constitution of the United States. You know?
Well, yeah, and see, I keep taking so many of these problems back to however many decades of government education we've had in this country now. I don't know, is it six decades, five decades of strong, you know, and, of course, getting worse and worse every year.
Yeah, it started with the Kennedy administration back in 1961.
Yeah, it started really accelerating, you know, exponentially in those years in the 70s and so forth. But I'm always talking to my kids about this, about, you know, words have meaning. And we don't just toss around words like this, especially when there's a legal consequence. And so, you know, when a Kennedy or one of these guys, was saying reasonable gun control, you were saying? Or
that was the Brady campaign.
Oh, Brady, excuse me, yeah. And they always talk about this, yes, sensible, reasonable, so forth, you know. And the founding fathers would have never dreamt of using such a ridiculous word.
You're absolutely right, because the libs of the far left believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing document with an ebb and a flow for societal reason. I do not believe that. I believe that all societal reason. By the way, thank you very much for the intelligent call, Alan. I appreciate it a bunch. And Texas rocks, I got to tell you. They believe that there is an ebb and flow. I believe that this ebb and flow should be available at a state level, certainly not at the federal level. You want to live in a state which allows ebb and flow? Fine. You want to live in a state that does not, and they're more strict to the Constitution? Then stay there. That's the way I see it. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. Stay tuned through the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So, in the United Kingdom back in 1997, they banned all guns. All guns. So, only criminals have guns now. However, the criminals that can't get guns on the street, what they do now is they use knives. That is the leading tool in the act of violent crimes in the United Kingdom. A knife. So what has the United Kingdom done to try and curb this problem? They have come up with, behold this, the stab-resistant knife. Since the UK outlawed all guns in 97, the violent weapon of choice has become the knife. Technology again comes to the aid of society with a blunt pointed knife. It has been tested by the Home Office Design and Technology Alliance and found to be harder to use in a stabbing since the pointy part has actually been rounded off, or dehorned, if you will, and has a little indentation at the tip that makes it snag on clothes, and it spoils any thrust. It'll sell for about $80, and it's very effective at chopping vegetables. Maybe England will start a pointy knife buyback program or provide grants for poor people to buy the blunt knives. That way, if a criminal breaks in and takes their knife, the homeowner can be confident that they will have to be slashed by the edge to be properly killed. There was no mention of the knife's efficiency at beheading, however. That was not looked at in the testing. The unanswered question is, how do we get the criminals to buy them? Are we going to get criminals to actually buy these rounded edge, slightly point on the tip so it snags on clothing knife? How are we going to do that? Now, there's already millions upon millions of knives in the United Kingdom. But now, are those going to be considered illegal and you've got to have the rounded tip with a little kind of a thingy at the end of it? Is that the way it's going to go in the United Kingdom? They do not seem to understand that there is a certain percentage of society who are scumbags. They are degenerate. scumbags in society. Some societies have more than others, products of their raising. However, in others, it's just simply a matter of historical fact that certain people's chemistry in their brains don't work quite right. They are more prone to violence, and they are more prone to doing things against what society would say is approved or disapproved. And I don't care what you do with inanimate objects, you are not going to change that. Self-defense in the United Kingdom is essentially outlawed. You are not allowed to defend yourself against criminal attack. Imagine that. As far as this country goes, we need to ensure that we don't let it get that far. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Happy Father's Day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.